Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Thursday, September 3rd. Some law students are helping clear the way for people with a criminal record to practice law. More on that next, but first, the headlines. More than $15 million will be spent on improving sound insulation for around 400 homes falling within San Diego International's flight path. The FAA awarded the funds to the County Airport Authority on Tuesday for its Quieter Home program. The program looks to reduce noise levels coming from the airport and its airplanes. The Quieter Homes program has retrofitted more than 6,000 homes since 2001. Upgrades can include installing noise-mitigating doors and windows, swapping ventilation systems like AC units, and weather stripping around any openings. Forecasters are projecting a strong El Niño this fall and winter, and in response, the city of San Diego is sending out flyers to households and businesses located in high-risk flood zones. That's roughly 7,000 properties. The handout has tips on preparing ahead of time and what to do during a storm. Those tips include signing up for emergency alerts, building an emergency kit, and keeping important documents in a waterproof container. For more info, go to sandiego.gov/El Niño. A new rideshare competitor is joining the race to be driverless. Times of San Diego says that on the same day that Waymo opened to the public, Amazon announced rideshare plans of its own. Amazon says its rideshare offering Zooks will be hitting San Diego streets by the end of the month. Zooks first began operations last year in San Francisco and Las Vegas. Times of San Diego says the company will have human safety drivers in place for the first few months, giving them a chance to safely map the city. Once the official Zooks taxis arrive, they should turn just as many heads as Waymo's. The vehicles have no steering wheel, no dashboard, and no front-facing seat. Doors open up in the middle of the car, featuring carriage-style rows where riders face each other. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need. A group of San Diego law students are paving the way for more formerly incarcerated people to practice law. Reporter Katie Heisen says together, they're overcoming higher barriers than the typical law student.
Colleen Murphy is entering her third year at California Western School of Law, against all odds.
I had experienced a lot of adversity and ended up incarcerated. And at that point, I really thought my life was over. But after years of struggling through that, I ended up homeless and found out I was pregnant shortly after.
Becoming a single mother fueled her to change her trajectory. She started community college. It confronted her with questions.
Do I qualify for financial aid? Am I going to be able to access this? Do I fit in here?
She thought people trying to change their lives shouldn't face these kinds of barriers and figured law was the tool to change that. She met with a school counselor.
And she's like, why are you doing law? Why would you want to do that? And that to me was like, okay, I'm not going to ask for help from you. So I had to figure it out on my own.
She landed a spot at California Western.
The first year of law school was incredibly hard. I laugh about it now, but I felt like I was dying early.
The experience made her determined to make it easier for other formerly incarcerated people.
I think that that's a common characteristic of our demographic. We know what it's like to not have support and to feel alienated. And so a lot of us naturally kind of come back to that nurturing, caregiving, leaving the ladder down for people because we didn't have that.
Law school is notoriously tough, but there are added barriers for people exiting incarceration.
Basic needs is a huge component. If you can't find housing because you have a criminal record, how are you ever going to be successful in school? Because the floor is just falling out from underneath you all the time.
The average total tuition for law school in America is close to $200,000. That's according to the Education Data Initiative. There are added costs for formerly incarcerated students, like hiring a lawyer to help them pass the moral character part of the bar. Murphy says it's almost guaranteed the bar will challenge the moral application of students with criminal records. They have to prove that despite their histories on paper, they're a good enough person to practice law.
It almost feels like there's a baseline that you're not fit, and so you really have to prove yourself.
Julie Hinton says she was quoted $15,000 to retain a lawyer to help her pass moral character.
And like, is that worth the investment?
The preparation is challenging emotionally, too.
It is a little bit triggering, honestly, to have to re-go through all of your court documents. And so I am in therapy.
She's in her second year at California Western. She also deals with imposter syndrome.
Like, it is scary because I think, law school starts tomorrow and I'm like, oh, the cold calls.
Law school cold calls. When the professor calls on random students to answer questions they may or may not be ready for.
But honestly, I've been in the worst situation you've ever could be in your life at the lowest point possible. And I was like, well, I survived. So, this cold call in law school is, I'll be fine.
Lauren Tyler relates. She's in her second year at California Western.
I think we all struggle with, whether we're doing enough, whether we're good enough for these situations. But those feelings are exacerbated when you've been in the system, and because it's such a dehumanizing system where it really makes you feel like you're less than.
But her perspective has changed.
My background is an asset, and I've learned that it's a superpower because it enables you to have perspective that no one else will ever have. And it also is going to be a way for us to speak to clients and to actually relate to them.
Finding each other has been a big reason why Murphy, Hinton, and Tyler have been succeeding. They formed SILSA last year, System Impacted Law Student Association. Murphy says it's the first of its kind in San Diego, one of the first in the country. They help each other navigate those practical, financial, and psychological barriers. They also advocate for clients in the county's homeless court. It's especially meaningful for Murphy.
It's like really full circle, and it really it's very emotional.
A dozen students attended SILSA's orientation this year. It's a small reflection of what Murphy says is a growing movement. New state programs and the federal restoration of Pell Grants have made it easier for formerly incarcerated people to access law school over the last decade. Hinton says that matters if the justice system is going to reflect the people it's supposed to serve. She wonders how society can ignore how many people are like her.
One in three Americans has a involvement with the American carceral system. How are we not pretending that this doesn't exist?
Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
The San Diego County Sheriff told the Board of Supervisors this week what she's doing to reform the jail system. Public Matters reporter Kevin Trevelyan says the county is facing a series of lawsuits alleging unsafe conditions inside many of the aging buildings.
During a presentation, Sheriff Kelly Martinez told the Board of Supervisors her department has responded to the lawsuits with a concerted effort to improve. She said that's led to better medical and mental health care for inmates and fewer in-custody deaths.
I want this to be foundational, that it is sustainable and that this is the way that we operate going forward.
The office has begun providing medical exams to each inmate at intake instead of just on request. Martinez says that's led to more responsive care and the treatment of chronic health issues that may have previously gone unnoticed. The office has also assigned a nurse to each jail housing floor so they can build familiarity with individual inmates. Kevin Trevelyan, KPBS News.
An Imperial County judge is preparing to block plans for a massive data center and order the county to do an environmental review of the project. Reporter Corey Suzuki says residents have been asking for this analysis for months.
In a tentative decision Monday, Imperial County Superior Court Judge Brooks Anderholt said county officials failed to analyze the environmental risks of the data center complex before signing off on it this spring. The judge's decision came after the Sierra Club in the city of Imperial sued to halt the project. Aileen Tabor represents the city.
Basically, the county has to start over is what the court is saying. And the court went as far as to say, look, there's even evidence here of a fair argument that there could be a substantial impact.
Francisco Leal is a resident of Imperial who lives next to the project's proposed location. He says he and his neighbors have been asking for an environmental review for months.
How come such a big project doesn't require any full EIR, an impact analysis? And this court ruling just proves that. All of our claims were correct.
The decision comes less than 2 weeks after another judge said he was preparing to strike down Imperial County's temporary moratorium on data center construction. The court's decision isn't final yet. Both the city and the county will have a chance to comment in the coming weeks. The developer behind the project also says he will contest the decision. Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
La Jolla's underwater park is bursting with lively sea creatures, but seeing them in person can be difficult. Science and technology reporter Carly Kay says there's a new virtual tour that lets people explore them from home.
Within Montlahuil State Marine Reserve, you can find anything from a leopard shark nursery to swaying seagrass meadows.
I'll show you some stuff if you want.
Okay. Zach Kabating takes us to La Jolla Cove. It's one of the reserve's popular snorkel spots, but not everyone has access to it.
Some people just lack economic access to be able to do the lessons or buy the gear that can help them get out into the water.
Kabating is a recent graduate from Scripps Institution of Oceanography. He created a virtual tour of the reserve. It takes users to places like La Jolla Cove, Sand Dollar Bank, and the Marine Room. With just a click of the mouse, anyone can dip a toe into the underwater park without ever getting wet.
I think it's important for people to be connected with the ocean and also learn about conservation tools like marine protected areas, because our ocean is under significant stress right now.
La Jolla Cove is one of the 10 different habitats you can explore. All limit human activities like fishing. Kabating hopes to make more tours across the state. Carly Kay, KPBS News.
The second annual Asian American Dance Festival is underway in San Diego. Arts reporter Julia Dixon Evans spoke with organizers about bringing AAPI dancers together.
Joyce Lian Kushner's parents are from Taiwan, but she grew up practicing Western dance forms like contemporary jazz, ballet, and tap.
And in none of those dance forms was I ever asked to tell stories of my family lineage or my family's history or immigration story, any of that.
Kushner has spent decades as a dancer and educator and realized others had a similar experience. She co-founded the Asian American Dance Festival with Dr. Grace Shin-Hei Jun, who teaches dance at UC San Diego. For Jun, the festival is about the future.
But really thinking about the next generation and filling them with support in the ways that both Joyce and I didn't receive as we were coming up in our dance fields.
Kushner says she wants to deepen connections within San Diego's AAPI community.
So I think through art is a great way to bring people together. And through dance, we move physically in space together. It provides opportunity to open up conversations that maybe we won't always have.
Public performances will range from hip-hop and contemporary to traditional dance forms. The Asian American Dance Festival runs through October 3rd. Julia Dixon Evans, KPBS News.
San Diegans can celebrate anime at the Convention Center this weekend. Arts reporter Beth Accomando previews the inaugural Anime San Diego Convention.
Anime San Diego is a new convention celebrating anime and cosplay. Marketing director Colin Bass says there'll be anime karaoke, free video game and arcade zones, plus multiple panel schedules.
One is like the main stage with all the celebrities. One is the fan zone, which is more fan based, but also has more like intimate panels with the celebrities. And then we have the creator panel zone, which is all fan made panels.
And of course, plenty of cosplay.
We have the cosplay meetups, which I really like because the fans like pick the time and place and put it all together for their fandom. We have an adult cosplay contest on Saturday at 6, and then a kids cosplay contest Sunday at 5.
Plus, trading card games.
We have an entire trading card game arena where you can do free play, but we also have vendors that sell trading cards as well.
Anime San Diego should not be confused with San Diego Anime Con, which celebrates its fourth year in November.
We are not adversaries. I think we're friends, and I think it's kind of just a community that makes these things so special.
The inaugural Anime San Diego takes place this weekend at the San Diego Convention Center. Tickets are available online and at the door. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. This podcast is edited by Brooke Ruth and hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening and have a great day.